Well, we thank God this morning for His salvation, for His mercy and His love to you, to me. And I do want to go to heaven, don't you? And there's a way to do it. I mean, we could think of quite a few ways in the sense of the plan of salvation. But I'm thinking today about you and me being spiritually minded. Now, that can go into a lot of directions also. I think we understand what it means to be earthly minded or worldly minded or mind the things of the flesh. They have a real call to them. They have a very distinct sound. It gains our attention. To mind the things of the flesh really comes easy. And it's something that you and me almost do without thinking. And to mind and have a spiritual mind requires us to look above the natural, look above the physical, look above the emotions and the feelings and the appetites. And that requires discipline. And that requires responsibility. That requires something on our part that we have a vision and an understanding of there are more important things. I'd like to read just briefly here in Romans 8 and 5. Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or to mind the things of the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, to mind the Spirit of God has a promise of, we might say, eternal life, and it also has the promise of peace. Jesus Christ came and said, "My peace I'm going to set before you as a something in heaven, and you'll get it when you get there." Well, we know that's not what the Bible says. He said, "My peace I leave. I place it here, and I place it in your heart. I place it in your spirit. I make it available to you today. My peace I leave with you. I'm going away. I'm going to send another, and He'll be the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." God has given to us, if we will be so mindful, and if we will mind the eternal and the spiritual things that are presented to us, if we will connect with that identity of God, if we will allow His Spirit to be in us and us in Him, He has allowed us that we cannot suffer the turmoil or the confusion of minding the things of the flesh, and in the end being lost. And we can also have the wonderful privilege of being conscious and minded, paying attention to the things of the Spirit that promise us right here life. Promise us right here peace. "I have come," Jesus said, "that you might have" what? "Life and have it in an abundance. In a store that are a flowing out from my storehouse." I want to think about being spiritually minded today. And I'd like for us to think about being spiritually minded, not just in the sense of understanding some things of God or being saved, but truly walking in the Spirit and enjoying the freedom and the light and the peace that comes today. If you may remember some here, Mike, it's been a good while now ago, we had a message on, or we talked about frustration. and where frustration originates and some of the remedies of it. And I coined, or I felt like for the purpose of that message, that we would look at frustration from the standpoint of trying to control things in life and circumstances that we had no control over. Hence, as we struggled and battled with those things, and yet we couldn't get the right outcome and the answers we wanted, it became a very frustrating thing. That could be temporal, and that can be spiritual. That can be in human relationships, and that can be in work, and that can be in labor. That can be in finances. That can be in just any area of endeavor that we may have. The Lord wants you and me to have the mind of the Spirit of God. He wants us to, I believe Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, or this very presence of who God is and Christ in us. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So today let's look at how God wants us to be established. God wants us to be happy indeed, or full of joy. He wants us to be a very settled people. He wants us to be a people that are enjoying the glorious rest that He's prepared for us. And that's going to come through being spiritually minded. It's not going to come. Don't look for your rest in your own endeavor. Don't look for rest by minding the things of the flesh and saying, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it right. It's going to work out. I'm going to devise a plan, and then my rest is going to be glorious. Can I preempt your thinking and tell you something that's the truth? It will not happen. It just won't work. Men have tried through the ages to regulate their life and others' lives in order to come up with rest. It never has succeeded. May the Lord help us today to know that God has a mind that He wants us to have. He wants us to be spiritually minded. I'd like to go now to Genesis, the first chapter. Consider some thoughts here. It's in the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe the writer in Hebrews said that those things that are formed were formed out of something that wasn't, by the Word of God. And he said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, let me read to you what Adam Clark said about this void and darkness on the face of the deep. The original terms, which we translate without form and void, are of uncertain etymology. But in this place and wherever else that they are used, they convey the idea of confusion and disorder. None of us were there. We have just a very small accounting of what was there or what wasn't there. But by the etymology of the word and the terms and the way it was said, there was disorder. There was disorder. Now, what degree that disorder was, you speculate, and I can, and maybe somebody will get close. But the point is, at one time, there was chaos and disorder. There was no form, there was no substance, and there was no shape. Hence, there was really nothing. Do you know, a lot of times, I believe in our efforts, we get disorder, we get confusion, and stress. And in essence, while we try to be earthly minded or minding the things of the flesh, not in a sinful way, the very thing we try to get rid of, we increase its presence. The Lord wants a spiritually minded people to be able to look at the disorder and the chaos around us, or the needs that are around us, the questions that arise in our life that are legitimate questions, decisions that we have to make, things that we just seem to look at and things are out of order, and some of us have this tendency to say, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make it right. Lord, help us to turn our minds and our attentions to the Spirit of God and to what He would do and what He would have to say. He said that to be spiritually minded is life and it's peace. Have you ever got a question, a burden, a problem on your mind and tried to go to bed with it? Or have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and that's the first thing that pops in your mind? Have you noticed how it takes rest away? It takes peace away, and it takes sleep away. How many of us, I wonder today, have not laid awake at night trying to forget what came to our mind when we first woke up so we could go back to sleep? God help us to find the answers to our questions and to life's difficulties in having a mind of the Spirit of God about us. Upon this disorder, upon this chaos that existed, two things happened. The Spirit of the Lord moved. Not the hand of man, not a big bang, not some type of evolutionary process, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon it. Now you think about the chaos that was there. I could tell you my imaginations. I don't know what was there. Evidently, there was space there. As far as I can tell, there was a space. Maybe there were swirls of things. Who knows? Maybe there was, certainly was darkness. Well, in darkness, you don't know what's there, do you? Sometimes life can seem awful, confusing, and dark to us. That's so much more confusion and chaos and disorder then compared to what you and me face today. You know, Lot, let's pretend a minute. Let's pretend that we was there with God. That's pretending, all right, but let's pretend. But we didn't have the divine, we just had the mental faculties that we had now. And if God looked on you and me and said, say, Stan, what do you want to do here? How are we going to work out this and get life and light and all these things that you and me have never heard of before at that time? What would you have said? I can't see. Sister Marie, we still can't see. Without the help of God, we're blind and cannot see afar off. Without God, we're lost. Thank you for that answer. And yet, in our groping, do we not still try to work it out? The thing that God did was His Spirit moved upon whatever was there. If nothing was there, God's Spirit moved on nothing. Whatever the confusion was, the darkness was, the cause of the darkness, the lack of light, whatever, God's Spirit moved upon it. That's one thing that happened. And God said, and God spoke. God's Word went forth. The true worshiper, God is vehemently looking for the true worshiper. that will reach out to God in all that He is and worship Him in spirit and in truth, or in the Word. Our resource to the chaos, the confusion, and the disorders of life, to the things that you and me come up against that we feel so earthly minded sometimes to put our hand to and begin to work on it, is the Spirit of God and the truth of God's Word. That's the one thing that the two things, if you will, or combine them as one, that brought everything into existence and brought order where there was disorder. And what order? What beautiful order God created. God created a universe, stars beyond number, placed them in their place, and I'm not even going to go there. That's too deep for me. He placed the planets and the moons and the atmospheres, and He made the place called Earth, and it was just right for situation. He did such a wonderful, wonderful job. One day He said, "And let us make man in our own image." He did a good job. And He looked on it and He said it was good. May the Lord help us today to give, to understand that given to you and to me is the power that is there at the creation. The Spirit of God will move upon my life and move into my life. The Word of God that was spoken there at creation will also come and be a lamp and a guide to the path that I need to walk in. Be a code of my conduct, will be a instructor of my mind, will be a leader into all the truths that God has. It will dispel the disorder that I've created, that maybe you've created. It will dispel the confusion of my ignorance or of your ignorance. It will open unto us the storehouses of God that are locked to the man. The eyes have not seen, not entered into the heart, into the ears of man, the things that God hath given to us. But they are given to us and revealed to us by His Spirit. Solomon was wise enough, even in his lack of wisdom, to say, "I need wisdom." Lord, help you and me today to recognize given to you and to me is the very real right to be spiritually minded. The thing that knocked the confusion out, the disorder out, and the darkness out in the very beginning is available to you and me. I praise God for that. I have made so many mistakes in my life with my thinking. I wouldn't even want to begin to enumerate them. I'd be embarrassed to tell you some of them. But never have I failed. Never have I come to a place where I felt confused or no rest when I have followed that which was from the beginning. So God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the Bible, Paul wrote it to us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, that God is not the author of confusion. Well, sure is a lot of confusion in the world. Where did it come from? Devil. Old Satan himself. Adversary. Why'd he introduce it, you reckon? Get you and me to learn to our own understanding. Get you and me to start walking in our own pathway. Cause you and me to stumble and fall, and cause you and me to think, "Well, now I can work it out." I want to tell you something. It's dangerous to get discouraged in life. I'm not speaking right now about getting discouraged in Jesus. But if you and me become frustrated and our life becomes in a disorder, I want to tell us that is a very real place to Satan to walk in and say, "It's God's fault. It's the saints' fault. It's because they don't love you," or "it's because," and you and me begin to put our hands on the things that it's like you and me being there at the creation and trying to figure out, "I'm going to do this and do this," and the answer was, "You can't see to do it." Lord, help us to be spiritually minded. The very agency God had at the creation today, then, is available to us today. Jeremiah wrote some words to us, and they're true today. They're true then. Jeremiah 10 and 23. He said in Jeremiah 10 and 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not as in himself. As we read these words, let's take counsel. Let's say amen and confess it is true. Lord, help us to understand if I could believe this and accept it and be governed by it, I'd be better off. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in his himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Then he cried out, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. In other words, with equity or with mercy. Correct me, O Lord, but in your equity, in your fairness. Look on me as a pitiful one needing mercy, needing help. Lord, it's so real to me, and it seems so right to me to try to guide my own steps and fight my own battles. It seems like it's just the thing that I'm supposed to do, but Lord, it doesn't work out. Correct me, Lord, but with equity, with mercy. Not in your anger, lest I become as nothing. It just brings me down to absolute nothing. Isn't that so today? We sometimes suffer because we fail to trust in the judgments of God. I think every one of us, maybe one scripture said that every man's ways is right in his own eyes. I think each one of us have to struggle with that. I think each one of us have to submit to the fact that sometimes we do really think we know what's best. And we struggle with others or life or situations that don't agree with what we think is best. I do. But the answer to that is not for me to put my hand to it or me to become the corrector, but my answer to that for my own soul and my own welfare and my own peace and my own happiness, my own eternal life, is to say, Lord, help me. Guide me and correct me. Lord, there's not enough light in the confusion I'm in. Help me. I don't have enough wisdom, Lord. I think about human relationships. Why? Who understands it all? Big companies have whole sections of their building. A place like GE, where Brother Clint works, they got a city of people. If you took everybody that worked in human relations at General Electric and put them in a town, they'd make a little city. And yet they don't know all of it anymore. The intricacies, the personalities, the hopes, the goals, the fears, they hadn't figured it out yet. And they won't. Lord, help you and me that we are today to recognize how life is greater than every one of us. And we need that anointing that was there in the beginning, the Spirit of God, to enlighten the darkness, to bring us out of the confusion of our own creation and our own thinking, and trust and rest in the ability of God to bring us through every circumstance of life, to present to us the correct, the way to walk and to live and conduct ourselves, and to rest that, you know, God is doing absolutely all He can to work this situation out. Now, Lord, help me not to put my hand in there and really add confusion to it. See, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is a rest. He said there's a rest to the people of God. I believe sometimes we can be guilty, if we're not careful, of usurping authority over God. Places that God alone has intended to fill in our life. But in our eagerness, or our fear, or our whatever, I believe, if we're not careful, we can be guilty of getting ahead of the Lord, or trying to, of usurping authority over Him. Lord, help us today to say, Lord, what would You have me do? Lord, teach me the way and give me the word behind me. I want to hear Your word and I want to perceive Your spirit that tells me this is the way, walk in it. Sometimes if we're not careful, we rush in. And that's not limited to youth. That's limited to no one. We're all capable of rushing in. May we stand at the cross and may we stand at the altar of God and the mercy seat of God and humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need that direction. I need that counsel. I need that understanding. I don't want to be fleshly minded. I want to be minding the things of the Spirit. What does the Spirit have to say? What does Your counsel have to tell me? Lord, I don't have to do anything. In fact, I'd rather not do anything. You do it. You do it. How many times have we tried to do it and come back with a red face or a broken heart? How many times have we tried to do it and say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that? You know, God will spare us those things sometimes, and a lot of times, all the time maybe. If we would but just say, Lord, help me. I don't want to even get in it. I don't want to try to work that out. Lord, as You give me the responsibility, please, before that, give me the understanding and give me the direction. Over in John, the 16th chapter, in the 7th verse, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, for you, that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. Now, this Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when He comes as a Comforter, as a identity of God, He's going to have a mission. He's going to have some things that He's going to be doing in the world. And He wanted to reprove the world of sin. I believe it said in the margin, He'll convince the world of it, and of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll reprove the world of sin because they believe not on Me. Lord, help us not to be guilty of not believing. I believe believing in God, and I know it does when you study the Word, entails more than a head knowledge, but it entails a commitment. As in all thy way, acknowledge Him. Believing into Jesus Christ brings into focus my life, my fortune, my future, and all that I am, soul, mind, and body, I commit to You. It is a relinquishing of my rights to Jesus Christ, of my life and my ambitions to the cause of the divine. When we say, I believe, we're saying, it's You, God, first in everything. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and You see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All this comes by the light of God. And we can know now the difference between right and wrong. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show you unto you. He said, he will glorify me. One of the disadvantages of acting in a fleshly way is it fails to glorify God. One of the advantages of walking and minding the things of the Spirit of God in every decision of life that you and me will face, in every circumstance of life, if you and me will truly mind the things of the Spirit, it will glorify God. We might get uncomfortable at times. It might cause us to have to endure, and it will, hardness as a good soldier. It will cause you and me at times to bear a cross that in the flesh we would have not chosen for ourselves. But in the end, when we mind the things of the Spirit of God, when we relinquish control of our life and take our hands off of the things that we feel so vehement about and allow the Lord to guide us and take us through, it will inevitably always bring glory to the name of the Lord. And that's why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord and bring glory to His name, that the men, the people of the world may see our good works, our acts of righteousness based on the being spiritually minded, and glorify our Father, His Father, our Father, which is in heaven. The advantages to being spiritually minded, we could never in any fashion say there's an end to it. But great advantages and great peace, he said, have they that love thy law. Over in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Third verse. Incline ye ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Again, in life, today, while we're living, let's be spiritually minded. Let's seek the Lord, he goes on and says here in the sixth verse. Seek ye the Lord. Let's not rush out at life and think we have answers. Let's not go out and say, I understand what has to be done. I believe he said in one place to wait on the Lord. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. One of the great opportunities you and me have is that we don't have to do anything. Sometimes we see a situation arise and we immediately start thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to react? What's my part in this? You know what our part, first of all, is to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do or not do? What would you have me say or not say? This is your kingdom, Lord. This is your people. The world is yours and the fullness thereof, and the mountains are yours and the hills and the valleys and the cattle and everything is yours, Lord. And way before I was, you said, let there be, and it was. And when there was no light, your Spirit moved on it and your Word moved on it, and there it was. And one of these days I'm leaving here and I can't write a book good enough and effective enough to give instructions to all those that's going to follow after me. Lord, what would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do in this situation? My children, my husband, my job, my finances. We know for a fact they're too great for us. And we're wise to know that. So he said, incline your ear and listen. Be spiritually minded. Don't presume and don't usurp. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me react? And here's what we're going to find out. The 8th verse. We're going to find out something. Why? Because we inclined our ear and we listened and we sought the Lord. And here's what we're going to find out. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. We're going to find out something that it's good to know that. Because you see, the way that we prescribe is bumpy sometimes and full of confusion. I'm glad God's got a way. In one place he called it a highway of holiness. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Have you ever, what's that song say about he giveth more grace? When we've reached the limit of our hoarded resources, I tell you what, I get there real quick. If I would ever get a hold of this lesson and learn it, old song I heard sung 30 years ago, give up and let Jesus take over. Isn't it true? Incline my ear and listen, for he who speaks from heaven, his thoughts are greater and higher and wiser than mine. And this thing that I think I've got to work out and I'm going to take care of, I'm going to mind it in the flesh, I'm going to say, no, Lord, you corrected me. I am going to turn it over to you. And he said, to mind the things of the Spirit, it's life and it's peace. The responsibility magnificently transfers off of me and my thinking. And it's on to God and my faith in God. Folks, that's rest. That's peace. That's something that we can't manufacture. Because I tell you what, I am convinced of this. The best of intentions are still, well, they still have error in them. And even if we win, we don't always have the expected joy that maybe winning came with it. He said in the 13th verse, instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to thee, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for everlasting sign shall not be cut off. Thorns kind of come up in the ground I plant. I plant a little grass and a lot of weed come up with it. Go out and hoe my garden and hoe my little patches that I have in the past anyway planted. Sandburrs. Seem like they like it too. The Lord promised us something if we would be in the Spirit. The ground I planted, the ground I watered, it still disappointed me. If we can turn our farm over to God, he said, instead of the thorn shall the giant, beautiful, majestic fir tree, fragrant myrtle tree come up. That's a better deal than I can work out. I can't negotiate with life enough to come up with a deal like that. I can't compromise on what I want and what someone else wants and work it all out and make leagues here and make leagues there and get this duck here and all this. I can't do it that good to produce what God can produce when I humble myself and submit my life to him and walk in his Spirit and are led by his counsel. The confusion then, light shines on it, and he says, this is the way. Walk ye in. Isn't that wonderful to know that? In Luke, The Lord gave us some instructions on how to maybe attain some of this. Luke 21. And I don't know, but what this is probably the hardest place for me. I'll leave that up to you, what you think about yourself. Talking about maybe the end time, things that are going to transpire at the destruction of Jerusalem, and toward the end of the age of the world, different aspects of this scripture. But he said in 21 of 14 of Luke, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you will answer." Talk about going to be called in. My little burden out of this was, settle it in your mind. Settle it in your hearts. Settle it already and make it a positive thing. Joshua said, "It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord." Settle it in your heart. God's way is best. Cease your struggling heart to know God's way is best. We get sick in body. And I don't enjoy it any more than you do. And we can fret over it and never get better. We can figure out and read all the books, and I'm not saying don't research what's wrong with you. I'm not saying that. And never get better. We can be frightful and fearful, worrying. Lord, help us to come to that place to settle it. This is your body, Lord. I commit myself to your keeping. Teach me what you want. Correct me, Lord. Counsel me and lead me. But Lord, I can't do it. I don't want to struggle with trying. You know, as a scripture, well, let's read on down here a little bit in this verse. He said in the 19th verse of that chapter, "In patience possess ye your souls." Now, he is talking about an era to come in Jerusalem's history, I believe, and in the history of the world. It was going to be great trouble, tremendous trouble, trouble like the world had never seen. And right in the midst of that, he said, "And in patience, enduring, consistently living for me, walking in the Spirit, observing what I have to say, that's going to be your safeguard. That's going to be your answer. That's going to be your protection. That's going to be your deliverance." Lord, help us today to count it as so. In faithfully abiding in the Lord, following His Spirit, listening really closely and walking and minding the things of the Spirit, He said we can possess our soul. We can have that assurance. And our life at the end will be counted worthy to enter into the gates of heaven. You think about patience. You think about, I do, Saul. And I don't understand all of this little story. But the bottom line was, Samuel told Saul, he said, "You wait 7 days, and I'm going to come, and we're going to offer sacrifices." So Saul went out, and at the end of 7 days, there was no Samuel. And to say it maybe in today's vernacular, Saul got a little antsy. You ever get antsy? You ever get to looking around at the stirring and the murmuring and what's going on, and you feel responsible to do something? Well, Saul, he said, "Well, this is again in my thinking, my words. Samuel's not here. Let's go ahead and do it." So he offered the sacrifice. You read that story on, and he said, Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You erred greatly. And because of this, your kingdom will not continue." and patience possess ye your souls. Lord, help us, please. Was it Isaiah, Elijah, was out there and he went to sleep and the ravens came and fed him and he went back to sleep and woke him again. I hope I'm getting this right. The angel woke him. Said, take and eat again because the journey is too great for you. We need the Spirit of God. Young people, children, journey is too great for you. Brother Stanley cannot impart to you. It just doesn't work. Mama and Daddy cannot impart to you. You have to almost learn for yourself or let God teach you. I could tell you of the mistakes I made and you'd probably go out and make some of the same ones. I'm going to tell you anyway from time to time. But the reality is we've got to mind the Spirit. Because if we don't, we're going to make the same old error that has been repeated down through history. We're not any different. We're still going to have things that happen. Saul lost a kingdom. His kingdom and its heredity ended, lineage ended at Saul because he didn't wait on the Lord. Zechariah 4:20-6. Not by power, not by might. God was talking to, I believe, Zerubbabel. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Example after example of being spiritually minded. Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and Ezra and those that were rebuilding, they faced odds too great for them. May the Lord help us today. As Psalms 27. And the 11th verse. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. Sometimes we feel we're in a place similar to that. We've got to justify ourselves. I've been there. It's a terrible feeling. I've got to explain enough where everybody will understand. I've always come back frustrated. I had fainted, the writer said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, of the Lord, in the land of the living. Then he writes to us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Spiritually minded. Hebrews said in 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And it's not through minded myself, my ingenuity, but it's through minded in the Spirit of God. That which was there at the very beginning, in the chaos and the confusion and the darkness of whatever was or was not there, that which moved upon the face of it all, and that which spoke out and rang through absolute eternity is still ours today. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Let you and me be committed. Let's have it settled, as Jesus said. Settle it, therefore. Just settle it. I'm going to see some of this that I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to see all of it. Lord, you're going to have to direct me more because I'm going to have to listen more. Lord, I've tried it and it's not really working, and the peace that you've promised, I've seemed to not have attained it yet. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But Lord, I'm still struggling. Could it be the reason I'm struggling is I'm doing it in the flesh and not in the spirit? Because to be spiritually minded, He promised us something. And I'm going to put some scriptures together here. Life, and life more abundant. And He promised us peace, His peace. And He promised us a peace that would pass understanding, a tranquility and a resting in Jesus Christ, knowing that He's in charge and He's in control. And I dare not go beyond what He has appointed unto me. I dare not touch it, lest I bring confusion on it. There remains to every one of us a rest and a peace that passes all understanding. I want that for myself. God wants it for all of us. And the only way I know to find it is to be spiritually minded. You pray for me.